we are. We have Bruce Johnson. Say hello.
Hey, everybody.
There he is. And we have Atlee Hunter as well, subbing in for Barry, who wasn't able to make it with us today. So, gentlemen, we went through tons of different features. I see that there weren't too many questions in the chat. We did have one, actually, one interesting one, and that was around RDP. And whether or not there's touch coming to RDP. Anyone want to comment on that one?
Whether there's touch coming to RDP?
Yeah, it would surprise me at some point if there wasn't. I believe that it's in their plans to be able to do it, but I'm not sure if it made it into... If you look at where the previews are, right, this is consumer preview. It might very well not have made it into consumer preview, but it's the kind of thing that... I'm expecting it would be nice, pure, you know, but it's the kind, if you want to know, that's really where you go into the Windows forums and start asking the question there.
And that, the Windows forums you're talking about is that's the dev.windows.com, right?
That's the one. Yes.
Cool. And of course I had a question while I was, watching, everything like that. You were talking about, Bruce, you were showing WinJS and you were showing JavaScript and everything. What does that mean for the web developer? I know you slightly touched on it, but before the web developer was sort of just limited to the browser world, right? Like, how does that change now in the Windows 8 world?
Well, if you take a look at what Microsoft's trying to do more than anything else, they're trying to arrange so that you get to pick and choose what development environment you work in based on what you are comfortable and familiar with, right? Personally, I've been working with C# and .NET for 10 years, so I'm more likely to work with, you know, the C# and XAML approach. But if you're a web dev and, you know, web and JavaScript and HTML and CSS is your thing, then you can create exactly the same application I could create using the language and the tooling that you're completely familiar with. And the same thing applies to C++. For people who are C++ knowledgeable, you can get exactly the same kind of experience. You can get exactly the same kind of experience using C++ as you could using C#, as you could using JavaScript and HTML.
And that's from a development perspective, but does any of the functionality change from a user perspective?
No, the user sees a Metro application. It does not matter. Just like it doesn't matter right now whether you create an application in C#, you create an application in VB.NET, it's the same application. Same thing applies here.
Cool. And then, Atlee, I know you're obviously with all of your involvement with Windows Phone, and actually we'll see your Windows Phone session next time on Tech Days TV. But when it comes to Metro on Windows 8, for those coming from the phone world, so the Windows Phone world to Windows 8, or maybe even just starting Metro from scratch, what's one of those things that you would recommend as sort of getting your mind around in order to understand Metro? Because obviously it's quite different than the way that we used to write applications.
I think the biggest thing that you've got to get your mind around is the cleanness of the design. Less is more. You don't need to overload things. One of the things that as a WinForms developer, we were always taught to block pieces of visual elements together using lines and using spacing to separate things. For example, a place where you'd enter a certain section of text, maybe an address, would be blocked and squared. Now with Metro, you don't even use the lines. You use the fonting, you use learn the typography, learn take a look at design patterns, recommended design patterns. And you can see that you can do an awful lot to drive the usage and the acceptance of your app and the user's flow of your application purely through typography, some shading, some coloring, without including a lot of extra visual elements. So it actually cuts down your development time and your design time an awful lot, but you still have to get used to that. You still have to get in that headspace. Of thinking that way, and it is a different way of thinking, so it's something that you all have to be cognizant of, and also realizing that you're developing for touch first. It's touch first. You get the keyboard and the mouse for free.
I love that line when Barry said it earlier, and it's one of those things that, again, for developers, that's actually going to be a relatively new concept to get over, this build for touch first. Any thoughts on how that changes the way that we think about development?
Well, definitely. One of the first things that we have to think about is that when you're thinking of touch-first development, you're usually thinking of a scenario where the user is using the application on the tablet. So, in a lot of cases, if your application is a consumption application or something that's heavily suited for tablet use, it will be very popular on tablets. And in that, you're going to have to remember the spacing of where people hold the tablet, how people hold them, and how the gestures flow. And so you're going to have to think about the visual space on the screen differently. You're going to have to look at understanding different boundaries of where people were going to need to be able to touch sides of the screen to hold the device without expecting to perhaps click a button or put focus on a text box or put focus on another visual element of the screen. So those are things that you're going to have to think about. Plus also understanding we're a very much up and down view philosophy right now between even WinForms. If you have a form that scrolls, it scrolls up and down. Web forms definitely scroll up and down. And in Metro, you scroll side to side to look at more information. So that's something that you definitely have to keep in mind too, is that the side to side flow is something that's a little bit new, but it's actually much more easily adapted and it's much more natural for users to use. So we're seeing a big shift in the new mobile space and with Metro especially to a user-first dynamic where we go from our old standby of here, this is what I want your computer to do and how you should use it, to the users telling us, hey, this is what I want my computer to do and this is how I want to do it. So we have to be thinking more along that lines. Much more so now than we ever have before.
Cool. And then just because we're coming up on time, Bruce, one more question for you. Similar to how Atlee was saying, from a touch-first perspective, metro-wise and user experience-wise, what about from a development perspective from the back end? How does touch-first and keyboard and mouse for free translate itself into the way that we code the actual behind the scenes of an application?
Well, the interesting thing about that is that if you take a look at the best practices right now for creating Win8 apps, pretty much the same as for WinPhone apps, you're using MVVM. And that basically means that, generally speaking, you're raising user events from the user interface back into your view model using a commanding pattern. If you're using a commanding pattern, then it doesn't make a difference to the rest of your application whether or not it came from a keyboard, from a touch, from a
Got
screen.
it.
It's so from your perspective, it's the integration at the view level into commanding, and then the rest of your application just doesn't care from that point forward.
Cool. Well, thanks again, gentlemen. Your insights have been wonderful as always. We're going to see you in about 2 weeks or so for part two of the session that we started today, which I believe is Metro on the Windows Phone now. And that was Atlee's session from Object Sharps at the movies. Of course, for those of you on the chat and watching the live stream, if you do have questions for Atlee or for Bruce, by all means, post them in the Canadian Developer Connection group on LinkedIn. Both of them are there hanging around for any kind of questions that you might have. And of course, I don't want to speak on behalf of you guys, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure both of you would be more than willing to answer any questions that come up as a result of this session.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for your time, and thank you all for watching, and we'll see you in 2 weeks for part two. Have a good one.